Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am ultra excited. I've got an incredible guest today. His name is Chris Brogan. If you've never heard of him, he is one of the top three influencers in the world on online marketing, content creation, a whole bunch of other stuff. He is a great guy. I actually read his book. It was the very first book I ever read on social media called Social Media 101, and I got hooked. And he's the CEO of Owner Media Group. He's authored 9 books, including a New York Times bestseller, Trust Agents. He's worked with Disney, Coke, Google. If we had more time, we'd talk about your appearance on Dr. Phil. He's got a podcast, The Owner's Mind. Check it out. I love it. It's great. And he's just an incredible guy. So, hey, Chris, man, thanks for joining us today.
My utter pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. So I always like my people to kind of get to know your origin story. So talk about what you did before you became this online marketing guru. And the only reason I'm calling you a guru is because you've got the beard for it.
Well, thanks. I had a very strange background. I started in telecom. I was in landline telecom for a while, at mostly the customer service side of the house. And then I worked in wireless telecom, where I went from being an account manager to going over to the product support team. So I was doing implementation. We started building data center stuff, that sort of thing. And then from there, project management. And then after that, I kind of went off into sort of a lab sort of a role. And then when I jumped the fence into doing weird stuff, it's because I had this guy, Jeff Pulver, show up at my first ever event that I ran with Christopher Penn called PodCamp, about podcasting. And that was in 06. And he hired me on the spot to come and run one of his conferences with him, Video on the Net, and start a internet startup called Network 2, which was supposed to sort of be like the TV guide for independent internet content. And I never really looked back. So I've been a business advisor to very big and very small companies ever since. I use all the various digital tools I can to help people build better interactions with their customers. And that's what I do.
And you're an excellent teacher, man. I've seen you in various different online stuff. Unfortunately, we haven't met face to face yet, but I know we will someday. So let's jump right in. The first question I've got for you, and in full disclosure to the audience, I was actually on a webinar with Chris last night watching his stuff. And one of the things you talked about was finding the problem that you solve. And you talked about, the tweet version and the long version. I think one of the biggest problems that a lot of small business owners have is trying to figure out what problem they solve. You know, it's like they want to sell what they know, but they really miss that. So how do you help people figure that out?
Well, first off, it's almost always a lot simpler than people think it is. It's always, people try to use really big words. One reason is that they're worried that someone else is going to think that they're not smart enough or good enough or whatever. But really, the problem you're solving is usually a lot simpler than what people are going after. Really, if you look at the business I run today, Owner Media Group, I just fill a knowledge gap. That's all I do. If you don't know how to do X, I teach you how to do X in a very humanized way. That's it. It's nothing fancy. But then someone will say, everyone says their business is super complex. I've talked to scientists. I've talked to billionaires. Everyone can say it in a really simple way. I was worried. I was running this conference once back in 06, and I was talking to this guy who is a huge brand guy at Procter & Gamble. Mm-hmm. And huge business. This guy had, his books were hundreds and hundreds of millions worth of profit and loss. And I said to him, we're really kind of worried that you might sort of pitch from the stage. He says, what am I going to pitch? I sell soap. And I thought, this is a guy, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And he just says it like that. I sell soap. And to me, like, the most successful people I've met are the ones who are technically kind of the most straightforward, simple, and humble. My old CTO at my wireless job, I was listening to all these people give their introductions around the table at this massive meeting of several different technology companies. Mm-hmm. And when it came to him, he said, Bill, tech. And everyone in the room knew that Bill must be really important because he just gave his first name and said tech, which meant anything technical in this room was probably his thing. And I guess that when you look at how you're going to solve your business problem, really get small and really get specific and really get granular. So you might be some kind of consultant. Maybe you're a consultant that works as a sort of a fill-in project manager at big IT software update type companies or something like that. You could just say, you know, I keep the project such that the CEO and the CFO are happy, but that the people doing the project don't pull their hair out. You know, it could be really straightforward. Or I'm the person, like, for instance, when I was a project manager, Brian, back in working in a wireless telecom company, I always said this: I'm the one you hand the train that's about to smash into the burning wall. You give me that project. If you give me the it's going to go on time and be great project, I'm going to fail because I lose myself in the boredom of it all working perfectly. Now, that sounds like some kind of weird bragging. It's actually like, wow, Chris Brogan was a really crappy project manager unless something was burning and I was like great under pressure. That's all I had.
Well, it's all about being memorable. You know, it's like I get people asking me all the time, what's with the bacon? You know, especially when I'm interviewing a lot of different people who haven't been in the atmosphere with me. And, you know, I tell them it's really simple. It's building authentic connections, online networking. They go, oh.
There you go.
You know, even though it's a great brand and it does a lot of different stuff, but it's really super simple. That's what it's about. So let's kind of take a left turn a little bit and then we'll make a right turn. And sooner or later, we'll get to whatever destination we get to. But this is great, man. Content marketing versus selling. You said that and I just went, yes. That is something that I think a lot of people have a real hard time with because they think that, you know, social media, online marketing is just a replacement for newspapers and print ads and stuff like that. And give me your take on all of that.
Well, so in your intro, you mentioned me as being a social media kind of guy. And I always say back to people, I'm not, I just use those tools. And it's funny because as the author of one of my books was called Social Media 101, it's sort of funny to refute that all the time. But what I've been saying is that'd be like calling me the best, you know, telephone marketer in the world or the best fax marketer in the world. What I really work to do is I help, you know, customers find a way to drive businesses, drive better human interaction with customers. It's pretty simple. So when I look at the tools, you know, it's so much more about how do I try to figure out what a customer is going to need and what am I going to do to solve for that? And when I say that there's such a vast difference between making all those various media and sales, I just see people just repeatedly saying like, you know, I don't know, I have like 180 tweets today and the phone's not ringing. I'm not closing any deals right now. Links are less clicked than ever. And I say, well, it's because you're just dumping tweets on somebody. Like, it's just not that interesting. And what was fun, and you were there for the call, so I mean, the webinar, so you saw how it went. It went like this. I was like, you've got to like get on a phone. Like, you've really got to do like real old fashioned Glengarry Glen Ross, bang the phone until someone buys kind of thing. Sometimes that's what's going to make it work. And everyone got all twitchy, and they're like, well, who wants to answer a cold call? And I said, that's what the media is for.
Exactly.
So you're not cold. So that's the mix. That's the marriage right there. So much so that when people see your bacon all over the internet, they're like, I want to take Brian's phone call because I'm sure he's got something cool to tell me.
Yeah. And I love that. I mean, it's, you know, the subtitle of my first book was Relationship Marketing in a Social Media World. And that's what it's about. It's just, you know, be real, have a connection with people and get on the phone with them. I mean, even Warren Whitlock, he talks about, you know, how did you build up 400,000 followers? He says, I answer them. He says, I talk with them. It's like, it's just that simple, but it overcomplicates into people's brain somehow. And you were talking about content, you know, and that's another place where I think that people get overwhelmed because there's so many channels. I mean, just look at the top social media: Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, Google Plus, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever else is coming out today. And then, you know, all the other things: blogs, podcasts, videos, all these other things. You had a pretty simple formula talking about doing five things: social, newsletter, blog, pictures, and videos. And the one thing I loved about it is you say take that content and just kind of format it across the board so that you're hitting a lot of people in different ways. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And I've covered it different ways in some of my other webinars and courses. And it was really funny. One of the people, Jane, who's been with me for a bunch of years, she said, this sort of felt like a weird best of for you. And I said, well, kind of was. I said, what I did was I just felt like people still weren't listening. So I changed the flavor just a little bit and they went, oh, I'm totally listening now. I added the word busy and everyone said, oh, I'll buy that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I look at content, there's this whole new mindset to me of what I've been calling tapas content marketing. You know, tapas are those small little delicious plates you get at Spanish restaurants. They always have just like a tiny little collection of things on them. But tapas doesn't mean really tiny plate of tiny amount of food, because I could give you a quarter of a bologna sandwich and it's still a bologna sandwich. Tapas is about creating the perfect bite. So to me, when I explain how you should be looking at making content, there are two formats always from now on. They're small and large. My Amazon Alexa, which is across the room, and I hope she didn't hear me. If I ask her to read my flash, nope, she heard me. If I ask her to read
Hi, Alexa. Flash brief,
I know. And we just triggered this on everybody listening to your show. When I ask her, by the way, ask her who is Chris Brogan. It's funny. When I ask her read my flash briefing, I get a bunch of little tiny audio clips from all these various people who are smart enough to have a flash briefing on there. And that doesn't include me yet. I haven't gotten unlazy enough to do it.
And I heard what is a flash briefing? I've never heard that before. So, and I don't have Alexa. So
for $39, go get one, because I will tell you that it's almost utterly guaranteed that voice computing like that is 100% going to happen.
I agree.
It was their number one selling product at Christmas time at Amazon. They, number one on the whole site. You got to understand, they sell millions of different SKUs, and that was the number one selling thing. Google went right afterwards with Home. Apple has their $350 silly thing. There's many more coming. Cortana is being baked into a bunch of things. That's Microsoft's play. So voice computing, like Star Trek Next Generation, is next. And so a flash briefing is like a super small 1 minute or less podcast, basically. And you just, it's the same kind of thing on the back end. You're sort of just dumping a file a bunch of times in a place, and it's linked to Amazon's Echo. And so it knows what to do with that. And so when you say to her, she who shall not be named, read my flash briefings, your stuff gets pumped in at, you know, a minute or less kind of size onto someone's ear. Now, why would you make that? Because dozens and dozens of millions of these devices are getting propagated. My parents now have two in the house. Who knows how many more they'll eventually have. That's one place. So again, small and large, flash briefing, less than a minute. Your podcast, whatever length your podcast is, that's the audio side. Video, I said you should think of four different time formats, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, and 10 minutes, because those seem to be kind of the weird mental break spots right now in video world. And so even with blogging, I mean, social things like tweets and all that, that's great. Tweet, 280 characters now. It's so weird to say. Or, you know, write a blog post or send out a newsletter. And the only other thing that's kind of changed is, as much as people keep trying to tell me websites are dead, they're not. But they've been changed a little bit to be more pointers to other places. And I think that's the other change that we throw into this mix.
Yeah, and you talked about a couple of things. I mean, number one, making sure that you own your platform, don't rely on social media and things like that. And you brought up a really great point with the Alexa side of things. And I want to kind of run this by you. One of the things I've been talking about from a futuristic standpoint, we'll talk about that together a little bit more, is I believe that content marketing from a tech standpoint, because when you speak things in, a lot of times it brings up, okay, here's what I found, and it'll recite back the text. So I think that blogging text-based stuff is still incredibly important. It's not just all video, audio, and all that stuff. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I've said it for years and years and years. I've said that, you know, Google isn't really good at watching TV. You know, it doesn't know in your YouTube video, it doesn't know all the things that you want to add to it, and it doesn't listen to podcasts that often. So if you don't have, you know, really good show notes and all that sort of thing, lots of people, I'm too lazy for this and or a little too cheap for this, but a lot of people are downloading full transcripts of every one of their shows to every, you know, show notes to their pages for their podcast, which is great. You know, makes it ultra searchable. And, you know, someone might say, when was that time Chris talked about artificial intelligence as it applied to firefighters? And they won't know unless they dig through my episodes and find that one. So there's a reason for it. But, you know, I think that I think that's the thing, is that especially with data coming, with artificial intelligence, which is essentially, every time I say that, it's basically anytime you can take a lot of information and have a computer run a bunch of thoughts against it and decide some recommendations or actions it's going to take. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. Well, that all companies, the guy I was talking to is the chief scientist at Honeywell. He said that you can't have AI if you don't have data. And so all companies are going to have to start producing more data in a lot of different ways. And so as a content producer, I've been thinking is, what can I do to make my data look better? What can I do to make it better formatted so it goes further? You know, there's all kinds of ways to kind of format your data so that Google wants to use it, so that machines can search it better and all that. And you know, I try to write my post that a human's going to really connect with it, but I'm sort of secretly making it so machines can hear about it too.
Yeah. And one of the points you brought up last night is you have to talk to a 5-year-old, and that's, you know, that's tough. It's tough to kind of dumb things down to the point where you're talking to your audience at that level. Every time I go through and do a blog post and run it through a word checker, the Fletcher Munson curve shows it at 9 to 10. I have a hard time doing that. It's really tough. So, next question I've got for you is this, and since we're on future topics, what are some of the tools that you like right now? What are some of the new things that you've discovered? And what are some of the old things? You know, it could be Evernote, Google Docs, whatever, but what are some of the mix of things that you use?
Well, so I'm starting to look for, you know, on behalf of companies, I'm starting to look for, how are we going to glue some of this stuff together? Like, how are we going to figure out connecting things together? How are we going to, you know, for instance, I just saw this platform sensor, I guess. It's just a sensor. And when I say this, this is just some science kid, like a student. And he made one of these things and wrote a big paper around it. And it's called a synthetic sensor. And what's crazy about the sensor is all the different things that it can do. And it's super tiny. It's like a small little rectangle, fits in your hand, and he can put it over and you can hear the faucet running in the sink. It can guess how much water just went into your sink based on that. It has accelerometers. It's got microphones. It's got temperature and humidity settings, also barometric settings. Wow. Magnetometer. I don't even know what that means. It's got a little microphone. So it could do all kinds of things based on what you want it to do. It can try to guess sounds. It can say, I hear the blender running, or there's coffee grinding or something. It's kind of nuts, because the machine learning part. So the sensors are one thing. This, and by the way, this thing costs like nothing to make. And this is where you get kind of nuts about it, Brian. And I'll get back to like what bacon people want to hear in a second.
Cool. No, I like it.
If all this crazy tech is this, and if you can buy it so cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, what then happens is that it produces a bunch of data that may or may not be useful. Now, if my blender is on, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hear my blender is on. But it also can do things like guess that the stove is on. How many times have we left for a vacation? Is my stove running? Well, you don't need super fancy, expensive stuff anymore. So you asked me what I've been looking at, what tech and what tools I'm really interested in. I'm interested in what I've been calling the glue tools. How do you put this stuff together? So stuff like Zapier, stuff like, you know, Zapier is like if this, then that. You might have heard of that tool. It's just a tiny bit more smarter, or there's more options of ways that you can kind of glue stuff together.
Right.
And when I say that, what I'm looking for is it's no longer good enough for something to do just one thing. Like, it's really interesting because you need to have this opportunity for information and everything to go further. In my second big book, the one I wrote with Julian Smith, The Impact Equation, he said this thing that it's taken me years to really catch on. He said, would you rather be a hallway or a room? And I was like, well, a room. I want to be a destination. Who the hell likes a hallway? Hallway's stupid. He was like, no, you're wrong. He goes, the hallway is where it's at, because hallways connect things. Mm-hmm. Hallways make it so that, you know, there's some facility, there's some ease of use, there's some value. And if your room doesn't even have a door in it besides the one you got into the room, then the room only has one end function. But a hallway means that people are going to go through it to different things. And I think that's where we have to start looking. And I've got to say, it's really nutty. All that talk from a guy who likes to like make videos of himself and who likes to, you know, write about what kind of coffee I like. I think it's nuts that what I'm trying to figure out is how you and I are going to use this without thinking about it. That's the thing. You know, you see so many people wearing a Fitbit. Nobody wore those before. And now everyone kind of knows. And if you want, it tracks your sleep and everything like that. You could, if you want, know how you slept every single night of the week. And that's what I think is interesting. What can we do with that? This guy, Jason Kaplan from Milestone Sports, was on my podcast. And he was talking about, yeah, sure, we track steps and all that kind of crap. But because we're tracking steps, we can tell the retailer who sold that person their running shoes that they just hit 300 miles and you should email them a coupon to go get some new shoes. Creepy. It's like a wearable cookie. Well, creepy for one, but as a runner, once you hit those 300 miles, you want the new shoes and you're not ever thinking much about it. You're like, and a discount? I'll take it, right?
Right.
So it's creepy on the one side, or it's like, this is exactly when I want to buy. Think about when you most want to buy something versus when you're annoyed by marketers and advertisers. What if software and technology and content and everything could be exactly when you needed it, not just when someone wanted to push it out?
Right. And there's all kinds of technologies. I mean, you mentioned, you hit me like a nail, baby, is my iWatch. I track my sleep on it. I track my stand, sits, breathing, all of that stuff. I set my alarm on it. I talk into it. It's right. Become so much of my world and I can't live without the thing. And, you know, I think what creeps people out is the way that the internet has taken to pixels, you know, and retargeting and things like that. It's like my wife gets creeped out every time she goes to Amazon and she's in Facebook and the same thing shows up and she's like, they're watching me. They don't get it. You know, so I think there's some learning from the consumer side that has to happen in this as well. It's like, this is good for you. This is not just people stalking you, because it's kind of a weird place to be at this point. That's the way I look at it. What do you think?
You know, it's both, right? I mean, it's this weird situation where, and this is exactly my point. When I said there's this really cool thing that, you know, when you hit the right mile, you get a coupon for your sneaker. Mm-hmm. It's creepy if you don't want it. It's so cool if you do want it.
Right.
One of the chapters in the book I'm working on right now, at least currently the chapter is called, where is it? I think it's called We All Want a Jarvis. And the point is that if you remember the original Iron Man and you remember as he developed the artificial intelligence of Jarvis, he could do all kinds of stuff. You know, hey, when's my next appointment? You know, should I bring anything to it? That kind of a thing. We want really smart assistants in our life. We just haven't been exposed to enough use cases that match what we want. When your wife gets retargeted, she's like, I don't want that. Like, I was looking at that one thing on Amazon. I don't want to see it 85 more times. I just got it. That's just us being primitive, right? That's blinking dots around the website text in the old days. That's really ugly website design that had like papyrus font and auto MIDI music playing when we showed up on it.
Yep.
And I think that's where we are with this technology. But where it goes, I mean, Brian, if you and I are driving through, let's say we're driving through a town together or something like that, and you're thinking, you know, where's this nice wine place? And I'm thinking, where's the bourbon? You know, we're going to want two different things. And if the little car speaker is your car speaker, then it's going to say to you, you know, there's wine at this turn. There's going to be like Brogan's crappy dive bars over there, you know. And I think that's going to be fun. And I think that where we go with all of this technology, and I know somebody's listening to this going, what the hell? Why did Brian interview this guy? But it's not super future. That's the thing. It's now. It's just really clunky. You know, William Gibson said the future's already here. It's just not evenly distributed. That's this.
Right. And I you know, as small business owners or mid-sized business owners, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you've got to deal with. And you've got to educate yourself about what's happening now, what's happening in the future, how to deal with millennials. I mean, man, we could go on for hours talking about this stuff, but I know you've got a limited time. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of talk about what you have as far as the things that you offer in owner media and education opportunities or anything that you want to tell my audience.
Oh, sure. So if you go to owner.media, you'll see who I am. You'll get a chance to get a little bit more about me. I mean, the only thing I'd really recommend is just start by grabbing my newsletter. Mm-hmm. If you get my newsletter, you'll start to see how I talk. You'll see who I am, how I interact. And, you know, I'll pitch you stuff and I'll send you directions to things I want you to buy. But I'm also going to give you good business advice. It's my idea has always been, and it's probably wrong, who knows, is give away your absolutely best ideas and then give something else. Because I think that there's too many people kind of hoarding their ideas. Like, if I give this away, then everyone will know my secret. And I've just seen way too many times that that's not true, not useful. And the secrets aren't interesting. It's the application that makes it work. So go to owner.media, and I think that would be how you'd figure me out.
Yeah, and for my peeps that have heard interviews where we say newsletters are dead, it's an email that comes in. I subscribed every Sunday. Great tips, great stuff, and I love it. So it's definitely subscribe to Chris's email every single week, his quote-unquote newsletter. So Chris, again, man, I really appreciate you and your time. If people wanted to get a hold of you, follow you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know, I'm pretty much Chris Brogan on any platform. I guess decide which one you think I'm the least annoying on. You know, on Instagram, it's a lot of pictures of food and my head and things like that. And on Facebook, it's almost never any business. On LinkedIn, there's some business, but I'm a little more sparse there. So I don't know. Pick your poison. Whichever one makes you cheery, that's what I want.
I love it. Well, Chris, man, thanks again. I appreciate you and your time, and thanks for dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. It's a pleasure to get to know you better, and I really appreciate this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.